It's time to go around the AFC North. Our first stop, Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan, and Ken Wyman in Baltimore as the Ravens come to town to take on our Cleveland Browns. Do you feel worse about the Ravens' chances now that Jameis Winston, it seems, is going to start on Sunday?
I feel better about Cleveland's chances now that Jameis Winston is starting on Sunday. I'm still trying to figure out why he was the third-string quarterback last week, because if he was the backup, I think they might have stolen that game against Cincinnati.
Kind of a challenge is it for, say, DTR to know at the beginning of the week that he was going to be the backup? That's something, you know, you kind of like to drop on him on Friday or maybe even Saturday.
Sure. It's the little things, guys. I don't understand what the heck you guys – I'm sure you're talking about it all the time, but they continue to just amaze me with some of their decision-making. But, again, like I'll stick to it. If Jameis Winston was the backup last week, I think they'd beat Cincinnati because I think Cincinnati's a little broken.
Are you jealous that you don't have Pauly Podesta in your front office?
Yes, very.
Okay.
Yes, Eric DaCosta could use a mind like his.
I mean, I know you guys are 5-2, and you have an MVP leader in Lamar Jackson, but we have Pauly Podesta, so take
that. Not just an MVP leader in Lamar Jackson, but I think the Offensive Player of the Year leader in Derrick Henry. So.
All right. Yeah, hey, by the way, can I do champion's pose on that?
Go ahead.
Ken, thank you very much for bringing this up, because let me tell you this. Like, he's not going to – I don't think he's going to contribute. I'm going, guys, like – I didn't think I thought you would salt it away until the fourth quarter, and then he would just pound teams. And I was like, he's still going to be good for them. And sure as hell, guess who's still going to be good for him? Everybody thought he was going to die. I remember Nathan and I, like, Nathan farted in my general direction over talking about Derrick Henry and how he's still going to have something for the Ravens. And here we are. Now we have to face you on Sunday. And our defense, which has done its best to keep it. Well, I don't know. We're 1-6, but whatever. They've done their very best defensively. This sucks. Take it away, Tone. I got nothing else to say to this man.
All right, Ken. Well, since we have somebody from Baltimore on, and it looks like you guys are humming, let's try to get some ammunition here. What's the worst takes?
Is Art Modell still dead?
What's the worst take, Ken?
I can confirm that. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
What's the worst take? Maybe you or someone at your station had when the Ravens were 0-2.
That this thing with Henry and Lamar wasn't going to work, that this team was in serious trouble. I think that people like to overreact early, and they lost to the Chiefs week one. And here's the other thing, guys, and you know this, now that nobody plays at all in the preseason, the first week to 2 weeks of the regular season almost becomes preseason games. Like, they're incredibly sloppy, so it's hard to get a read on what teams are at the beginning of the year. And the Ravens didn't really start clicking offensively. Like, they didn't really even start using Derrick Henry until the second half a little bit of the Raider game, which they ended up losing, and they stopped running the ball. But, like, the Derrick Henry thing really didn't start becoming a thing till week three, and he's got 873 yards rushing in 7 weeks.
So why is it that teams like the Ravens can say, well, you know, it's an extension of the preseason, it's still preseason? And meanwhile, when people were saying that to me, and I guess, Tone, I get to do another champion's pose because this was a fight you and I had. When people said, well, it's still preseason, I go, no, it's not. This scares me. And now the Browns are 1-6. What's the difference? Well, is it just Lamar? Is it just talent? It can't just be that.
Well, it's also culture and stability, isn't it? Like, John Harbaugh's been a coach here for he's been here 18 years. Like, and there's trust there in the building. Like, I know Kevin Stefanski's won 2 Coach of the Year awards, but when you got that bozo as your owner, it's kind of difficult to have any say.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore.
Wow.
Taking big swings.
Wow.
Good God, Ken.
Am I wrong?
Is Art Modell still dead?
He is. They took his name off the Lyric Theater here in Baltimore. There was a big controversy a few years back.
Whoa!
It was supposed to be forever, and then it wasn't.
Was he a big donor?
Yes, he donated money, and the understanding was at the time that his name was going to be on the building forever, and then they removed it.
How many banks did he borrow the money from to put his name on the building?
That I cannot confirm, but it's not as many as to pay Andre Rison.
Say what
Ken
you want.
He knows the stuff. He knows the stuff,
yeah,
man.
Say what
I thought
you want,
I was
going to.
Yeah, damn it.
That guy could definitely get money out of a bank.
We could wheel and deal.
Him and the wife, yes.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as the Ravens get set to come to town to take on our Cleveland Browns. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in James Rapine, Locked On Bengals and Sports Illustrated down in Cincinnati. 3-4, Bengals on the way back.
We'll see. They don't make it easy, do they? But a couple of road wins. It was ugly on offense, but they've won back-to-back games, so they're still in the hunt.
So, I mean, this seems to be the crescendo here where it's like Philadelphia. Philadelphia's a team that's a bit desperate. They've won two in a row. They're back on top and now at 4-2. Like, if you guys take on Philly and win this game, you get back to 4-4. I do think this might be where you guys set sail here. The offenses, it didn't look that great on Sunday, but you were playing in Cleveland, and for whatever reason, the guys just don't play that well there. But it looks like this offense has really started to gel here over the last month.
Yeah, I think you're right. They have to play their first complete game of the year against the Eagles. And so this offense has to show up and be the offense we saw weeks 3 through 5. And the defense over the past couple of weeks has started to make plays and been kind of the unit we expected, where they're not dominant, but they're serviceable. And so can they do that against a high-powered Eagles offense that has a ton of talent? We'll see. If they can, then I will agree with you. You'll get back to 4-4. The Raiders are coming to town next week. And it feels like that they can climb all the way out of the hole that they put themselves in the first month of the year.
James, Joe Burrow, maybe you just thought it was a rough week for him, but just overall, I mean, you could tell, like Adam Archuleta doing the game on the network, he was talking about how he basically was getting tricked, that the Jim Schwartz defense was presenting all sorts of challenges. And I always thought that Burrow was supposed to be cerebral, could make those assessments at the line of scrimmage. What happened to Joe Burrow?
He clearly is not cerebral. That's it. He just cannot read defense. No, I think the Browns, they did do that, because instead of doing just the straight man coverage that they've done and had so much success with, they were playing some zone. And tricking is one word, but they were certainly making this Bengals offense slow down and not play the way that they wanted to or were expecting to, at least going into that game. But they did solve it in that third quarter and were able to put up enough points. But it's just a rough matchup. This Browns defense, they can cover and rush, which is pretty unique for this league to have elite guys at both spots there.
How is Orlando Brown Jr. feeling?
I think he's all right. I wouldn't be shocked if he misses this week, but I don't think he's going to be out long term.
How has Amarius Sims done so far this year? Boy, he's so big. I did not realize how large of an individual he is until I saw him on Sunday.
Yeah, he's huge, and he's like a lean 345, if that's possible, because of just the way his weight is distributed. So, no, I think he's really good in pass protection for a rookie now. Obviously, there are things he needs to grow and be better at. And then as a run blocker, he's coming along. But that's something he was raw at coming in. But overall, I think they're really pleased with what he's brought at right tackle.
James Rapine, Locked On Bengals and Sports Illustrated in Cincinnati. The Bengals taking on Philadelphia at 1 o'clock on Sunday. We now welcome in Andrew Filippone. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan. In Pittsburgh, they take on the Giants on Monday Night Football. Right decision by Mike Tomlin to put Russell Wilson in the starter.
Yes, stroke of brilliance by Tomlin. He went against me. He went against Belichick. He went against Bradshaw. He went against Ben. And, yeah, great job. Russell Wilson shook off the rust in the first quarter and went on to have a great game, Ken.
Have you altered the projected ceiling for the Steelers now that you've seen Russell Wilson?
Yes, I have. I think right now for them, there's only two teams that are definitively better than them in the AFC.
Who are they?
Kansas City and the Buffalo Bills.
And then it's the Steelers?
I think it could be. I said definitively better.
Definitively.
Not Baltimore?
Not Baltimore.
Have you seen what happens when they play each other?
No, I've never watched a Ravens-Steelers game in my life.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Maybe you're watching Madlock or something like that.
It's a terrible joke.
Which version?
Work harder on it.
Andrew, it is important to nail down which version because they have rebooted the series with the very talented Kathy Bates. Your thoughts?
And what do you think?
I think it's great. I think that's why I got a Paramount Plus subscription.
I thought of my mother last night. I saw the movie Misery with my mom when I was a little boy.
She made you watch that as a little boy?
Yeah. And I remember I remember the ending where James Caan leaps on top of her and he goes, "Eat it! Eat it till you choke!" And I was like, man, I miss mom. I swear to God, I said it out loud. That all happened last night when we got home from football practice.
Hey, Ken, turn off that damn Sesame Street. We're going to watch Misery as a family. That's good parenting.
Not as a family. My dad was at work, so I watched Misery with mom.
Even better.
Okay.
As a journalist, I always fantasize about what I could do with a typewriter. Meanwhile, Andrew Filippone joined us on the hotline right now. So, was it just a matter of getting your running backs healthy? Was that a big part of this week, and it wasn't really about Russell Wilson at all?
No, I don't think it really had much. I don't think the reason why the running game has taken off is because of good health. I think it has a lot to do with Wilson because they got to respect the moon ball. The guy throws a beautiful deep ball, and that affects how defenses line up against them. They have to respect it, and it makes it easier from a numbers game standpoint for guys like Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren to do well.
Cooper Kupp, you want him?
Not particularly. I'll do it for a day three pick. I don't think I want to do it for anything more than that, Ken.
So what's this like for you in life that you're Team Tomlin now? You've come over to the dark side.
Yeah, it's fine. I'd rather have them be good than bad. So if I have to swallow my pride...
Boy, scalding hot takes. Ought to put you on the midday show there. Jeez Louise.
Why not the midday show? What do you mean by that?
Scalding hot takes over there. You're just fine with it. You'd rather win than lose. Boy, you got some strong opinions over there, Pony.
Did you not say the other day on Twitter, I'd have to not give an opinion. I'd have to plead the fifth on one of the quarterbacks in the draft.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What does that mean?
If Anthony Beck's son came out in the draft,
because it's Rocco Becht, goes to Iowa State, you dumbass. We're friends with a coach.
I got too much bias on this.
It was a joke. It was on social media.
Yeah, I got like 2 likes. Well done.
You're counting my likes on social media? Somebody online a little bit too much? Maybe a little lonely at home? You're staring at your phone a little bit too much? I'll get a great pilgrim sandwich at a fabulous get-go store near anybody, including Pony. I'll stuff it down your mouth. Because you know I'm right.
Jeez, someone's worked up this morning.
Diana Russini, by the way, says the Browns are going to start Jameis Winston per source. Pony, thoughts?
I used to love Jameis Winston. I think he's entertaining. I think he's fun. I think he went a little overboard after the game on Sunday with you guys, but I think it'll be better than the experience you've had for the first 7 games of the season.
What did you think of Myles Garrett when he spoke to the media after the game, somebody who was involved in a famous incident with Mason Rudolph? What did you think of him chastising the fans for their reaction?
I think I saw a viral video from a show on FS1 called Breakfast Ball that really encapsulated how fans should feel about that. It's tremendous. Go search awful announcing on Twitter. You'll find it.
You got anything more for this joker?
I'm good.
All right. Pony, thank you for the time.
See ya.
Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Albert Breer was on yesterday on Afternoon Drive, and he was talking about the possibility of Deshaun's return and competing with a quarterback who would be drafted.
I think the path they'll probably take is that they draft one with a high pick in April, and then they let that quarterback compete with Deshaun Watson to be the starter. At this point, if you get rid of them, like, there is, I guess, the benefit of, all right, we're done with that, and let's move on. But, I mean, there's no financial benefit. I mean, no one's going to pay him what he's making, so there's no motivation for anyone to give him anything but the minimum, which is all you get offset. This year, it was like, we need to take another swing with him. He's got 3 years shares left fully guaranteed. I don't know that, like, much changes logistically about where they're at. And there's no difference cutting him in March versus cutting him in September. So you could carry him on the roster. And again, there's no difference where, all right, like, so we'll ride this out. We'll let him compete. Maybe he's got a fire lit under him and he winds up playing really well for us and we get to sit the rookie. Or it's not going anywhere. The rookie is going to start. We cut him in August.
I would probably imagine it's going to go more the latter. I mean, you can go ahead and you can do that if you want to. Going back, though, to the whole what Jason said being concerning about Kevin Stefanski, what did he say about him aging basically like a U.S. president here over the last 8 months? I started to piece this together here in my own head. And can I pass something along to you here? Whether or not this is all, if we look back on this whole thing, because it's starting to spiral out of control. We're hearing some of the leaks, some of the things that are happening. Like you and I have seen this type of movie many times. I think it might come back down to a consolidation of power problem here. What was John Dorsey's fatal flaw with the Cleveland Browns?
What, not maybe working well with some of the other...
Hiring Freddie Kitchens. He wanted a coach that he could control. He hired Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens couldn't control the team. That was his fatal flaw. How do you have a coach?
I thought there were some other things too.
But go with me on this. It's not just guys. The angle is going to be one thing. There's many, 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 many reasons why things go bad. But me, I think it starts to come down to their problem here during this. I got to just tell you, during the entire DiPodesta era might be consolidation of power. Because I had one guy in John Dorsey take the power. We're going to get real football players. Remember that? People were up in arms over that. And it was a shot at the previous regime. And I even believe probably a shot at Paul DiPodesta too. Why not, right? Then you bring in Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski, smart guy. He's even keeled, does a good job, all those things that we've said nicely about Kevin, and I do think he's a good dude. You have a guy like Kevin Stefanski, you've taken power away from him. Usually, you've specified it many times, Anthony, power grows over years for coaches.
When they're like successful.
They become successful, they take over that. Now they have, you've done this level. We give you more money. We give you an extension. Now you have more of a role in the front office. Now you have more of a role in picking players. Your voice is stronger because you're one of the coaches that have survived. Your voice is more powerful than any of the other ones. So you're the one that the coach or the owner is trusting now. But why are we taking power away from him? Why did we do that? So now it comes down to a consolidation of power. They go and they get Deshaun Watson. The offense looks better with other people. You get rid of coaches who might have said the wrong thing. And now I'm taking away power from him, and he looks as listless as he's ever looked on the sidelines. Is this not a consolidation of power with Paul DiPodesta? Does that make any sense to you?
No, it does.
Did I lose you somewhere in there and then that's it?
I would ask... Over the last however many years, who has...
Near a decade now, right?
Who has Kevin Stefanski been reporting to?
I don't know. I would always imagine ownership is where the buck stops.
So that bypasses Andrew Berry? Like
they came in at the same time. Didn't they hire Kevin first and then hire Andrew? Exactly.
They always say that...
That's why it very well could be a package deal this winter.
They always say collaborative effort. They always say... We're on the same page.
Well, it's
as
nice
we
to
know,
show a united front when you're a good football team.
As we know, that's impossible. There's no way that they all thought the exact same thing on some of the biggest decisions. That's just not how, and not only front offices, that's not how any decision makers in life in any corporation work. They always have disagreements. What I've always wondered is who wins out on those disagreements. Like, I still would love to know, and we're not going to find out till when it's all over. I would like to know the order of operations in... going after and pursuing Deshaun Watson. How did that work? Who came up with the idea first? Obviously, Haslam has to sign off on a big move like that, as owners do in every city.
Well,
that's not a meddling owner thing. That's everywhere.
You and I have said it till we were blue in the face and people still don't want to believe. And then at this point, I mean, again, they're the owners of the football team. Everything ends with them. So, yeah, you can believe whatever you want, but I'll say it until the cows come home. Anthony, you know it as I know it, that they had to be sold on moving on from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Ownership.
Oh, yeah.
They loved Baker Mayfield. Now, there were things that happened in that season, in the 2021 season, that led to them being open to the idea of moving on from Baker Mayfield. And even though no one wants to admit it, it was because of Baker and some of the things that he was doing.
Sure.
Is what led them to start to think that maybe they would move away from. But they love Baker Mayfield. They know that the fans love Baker Mayfield. Jimmy Haslam is an owner. He's obsessed with finding a quarterback because he's an owner in professional sports and he's a football owner. They're all obsessed with finding a quarterback. And he thought he had his. And I've said that over and over, and so have you. And I don't think it matters to any fans. It's just, you know what? The owner's where it ends. That's where it goes. Like, we can do it with Dolan. We can do it with Gilbert. We can do it with everybody. The owner's the owner, and I've just accepted that over time. But to the point of going out and getting Deshaun Watson, what's it all mean? Who answers for it? Who ultimately pays the price for it?
Well,
I will find out later on, because I don't know if this whole thing can be sustained. If they go out there and they play well with Jameis Winston, maybe Jameis Winston changes a lot of people's mind. Or maybe Kevin does have more power by the end of the year and things change. Maybe you do not need to put him with what looks like an arranged marriage with Ken
Dorsey.
Well,
if Winston...
Maybe you don't need to do that.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this yet because we've had other things to really diagnose since it seems like the season's over. Just in terms of what they can do this year. But if Jameis Winston looks really good in the Kevin Stefanski offense, doesn't that save Kevin Stefanski's job?
I would think so.
But doesn't it? I mean, it would have to, right?
Yeah.
Because now it would point to you had the issues you had were still really on the quarterback. But if all of a sudden they're getting lined up right, then you're wondering what could the previous quarterback, could he not get the plays in? Could they not communicate those and do it in a timely manner and do it like they practice?
Right. I can advocate for Kevin Stefanski to run that offense, or excuse me, to run the football team, if they go out and they show that they're a better all-around football team with Jameis Winston as their quarterback. But if they're a package deal, what do I say about Andrew Berry at this point?
Yeah. Well, they're just the drafts haven't been good.
What can I say about him? Because I can look you dead in the eye at the end of the year and say, if it goes this way, I trust Kevin Stefanski to be the head coach of this football team. Can I look anybody dead in the eye right now and say that I trust Andrew Berry to make the first pick going into next year? And it wouldn't be the first pick. I mean, you would start to win games. You would finish maybe somewhere in the middle or somewhere towards the back end top 10. But do I tell anybody that I actually trust Andrew Berry right now? My trust is shaken. He does good with trades. I need him to execute the picks.
They might be making a lot of trades coming up.
That is a possibility.
Just one other thing, and I tweeted this to you because you had asked about the consolidation that could be going on in the front office, and I remembered back at the Greenbrier, I thought this was, it was a footnote at the time. It wasn't a huge deal. We didn't do big shows on it all week when it happened, but when they were talking about the extensions of Berry and Stefanski, D. Haslam said, well, they're really great men. First of all, really good leaders. I think the players really respect them and the entire staff works really well with them. They know how to get everybody to come together with the same goals. It really makes a difference. Then the Haslams clarified that Chief Strategy Officer Paul DePodesta, who is named the Browns Chief Strategy Officer, was not extended. And Jimmy Haslam said, we're working through the situation with Paul. It's a little bit different because he lives in San Diego, but we're comfortable Paul will remain with us in some very important fashion for the long term.
Okay.
Just the fact he had to go out of his way to say that and the fact that he was not extended, I mean, kind of did make me think back then that there could be some structural changes coming, win or lose.
Okay. But this goes back to, because we see 11-6, and that's on the surface. How many fans would go with me on this? A long, drawn-out thing here. How many fans in the back of their heads were watching the Joe Flacco experience going, well, we don't necessarily know what we're going to get from Deshaun Watson next year, so we better enjoy this experience. Do you think that they saw that in the front office, this experience going with Joe Flacco, and said, well, we better watch out because now we're going to run out of excuses here. We need to do it. And this is why I talk about consolidation of power. When things don't go well, what is our natural reaction to do with things? If things weren't going well on this show, what is your natural reaction to do things? Cut people out? Take over? I can only trust myself to get this done. Remember, like, that's what people say. If you're going to get a damn thing done, you can only do it yourself. Do you think that that's, like, they already saw that at the beginning of last, or at the end of last year where, hey, I don't know what this quarterback's going to do. Andy has a shoulder injury. Andy has a confidence issue, and now we have to go back in this direction here. And do you think that that was maybe part of it? And maybe that Alex Van Pelt or God knows who was telling them things that telling Paulie Podesta things or something that he didn't want to hear.
I'm sure that that's part of it, especially if you're as collaborative as you say, and people don't walk on eggshells around you, that they do feel free to voice whatever's on their mind. I will say the way this works, not just in the NFL, but in sports, but we have famous examples in the NFL, is that when things go south like this, when you start losing, it's this early in the season, you have an owner who famously does have the ear of certain individuals more than others over time.
Yeah.
You do get power struggles.
Yeah.
And what I wonder, you keep saying, is this a tandem? Do they come in together? Do they go out together? Is it all going to be that way? Or does somebody emerge from having those kind of complicated issues?
Oh, maybe already in our organization. Like, so Glenn Cook would become the general manager, possibly?
Could it happen? Could Kevin Stefanski get it back? Can he reclaim some of that standing? Does he have a chance to exert his power, his authority? Well, if Jameis plays well over the rest of the season, I can make an argument for that.
There's a fine line between just making things up and putting on a show. Lyman don't make things up. I don't make things up. But we are showmen. We are dramatic people. And as showmen, we know when people are putting on a show. In the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin, damn boy, you working or shooting? And frankly, I think some people on city council, I think they're just trying to work you into a shoot.
Nobody should have the right to come into Cleveland. I don't care if it's the Cleveland Browns, Sherwin-Williams, the Cleveland Clinic, or any other organization that we support that could just be able to turn around and walk away. But if the Haslam Sports Group wants to provide a fan experience, put a damn winning team on the field.
That is Brian Casey, one of the council members of the city of Cleveland. So Lyman and I almost came to fisticuffs, even though we agree with each other on this. We opened the show with this. You can hear the entire segment, 92.3thefan.com. Nick Barlage is about to join us in studio, CEO of Rock Entertainment and your Cleveland Cavaliers. Is the city, to me, is getting what, to us, is getting what they want. They can't come out and tell you that. This is performative. We're going to use the Art Modell Law. I've looked over it many times. I've read every article. Does it say, the law specifies, the Art Modell Law, that you have to offer a public trust to be able to buy it or another private entity? Does it say anywhere that they would have to sell the franchise if somebody were to meet any sort of price of valuation?
I would imagine.
That is a simple question.
I would imagine like a lot of legal disputes, this would come down to legal wranglings and interpretation of the law.
If the city wanted them downtown that bad, would the mayor have waited till last week to talk tough?
Right. Right. That's what we've said all along.
If they wanted them downtown that bad, would he have put it in the hands of Blaine Griffin, who, God bless him, we've met Blaine Griffin, we like Blaine Griffin, has said himself he has no real power in these matters? Would he have done that if they wanted him downtown so bad? Would they have not made some feckless 11th hour offer of part of Burke Lakefront Airport? They don't want him downtown. They have to say these things because they know that there's people outside who are upset, maybe even some residences, even though there was one resident who said he'd help him pack to move to Brook Park yesterday, that they have people outside who might be upset with this, and they got to talk tough because Justin Bibb don't want to be the mayor here for very, very long. He wants to run for other offices, and no one wants to be known as the mayor, the second mayor who let the Browns leave Cleveland, because then you have to open up an alpaca farm. But no one else wants to be one of the people who just lets that happen. Well, we should take our kids to Michael White's alpaca farm.
So cuddly.
Nobody else wants to be that, because then if I'm running against Justin Bibb, I just use that. Just use that.
Yeah, Kenny.
This is a man who says he's about your business, the state of Ohio. He let the Browns leave downtown Cleveland.
They should all be pulling in the same direction here, which is why I don't get this. I don't get this in terms of PR. I just think this is a huge mistake. If I were the mayor right now and I were city council, now, not everybody on city council, you know, not all of the 39 members of city council agree on anything, but for the ones that do think it makes sense – to be able to redevelop that lakefront where that stadium is and actually get this community, get Northeast Ohio a world-class facility that's not going to be far down the road, and improve your infrastructure and your public transportation for people in hotels here to get down to that stadium, which will all be part of that. I think this is an easy sell on the people in the region. They should all be rooting for this to happen, because then everybody gets what they end up wanting, provided they can pay for it, which is something that, you know, the county executive Chris Ronayne is like, the devil's in the details there. Like, let's hear how you're actually going to pay for this. But with all that said, I just think this is a huge mistake. This is a mistake by the city to come out and say some of the clips that we've had so far today, these emotional clips.
When they're still going to put a soccer stadium somewhere in the city?
Right. Like, you guys have had, you've had your opportunity. You clearly showed that you didn't really care if the Browns were here or not. In fact, you've gone out of your way to tell people in the area that they've been a drain on your resources, that you don't get anything out of 10 dates a year. You know, 8 football games, a couple preseason games, and a concert. Like, that is not a sustainable situation at all. Mm-hmm. And what does the city get out of that? Yeah, the bars and restaurants in the warehouse district get 10 days a year. Yeah. Come on. If you redevelop that lakefront, you'll get way more. You get way more than 10 good days a year, because you'll have people coming year-round, even when it's cold, if you do it right.
Yeah, and I'm not, and let me specify, I'm not saying, oh, this is such a boom for the economy in the area. There's nothing that tells me that there will be evidence of that. I have no idea about that, and I'm not going to say that it would, because that would be false if I were to sit there and claim that, because I don't know. But I think that everybody's getting what they want to get, but some parties have to talk tough about this. They will get their land in Brook Park. They will build their facility in Brook Park. Hopefully we'll have a bowl game. Hopefully we'll have Super Bowls.
What's that bowl going to be called?
Rock and Roll Bowl. Called the Rock and Roll Bowl, guys.
Wow. How'd you come up with that?
Are we getting G.E. Smith to reemerge?
He flips the ceremonial coins.
Of course he does. Come on.
Of course he does.
Don't tease me with an amazing time.
Mm-hmm. Rock and Roll Bowl. Presented by whoever.
Everybody gets guitar. The winning team, everybody gets
it's a new bowl. It would probably be before New Year's, but hopefully after Christmas. Can we get December 26th or 7th?
Can it be one of the playoff games?
Okay, well.
It's a Rock and Roll Bowl. Come on.
Let's rock and roll your way to a national championship.
David Gilbert, we know you're out there.
It writes itself.
We know you're out there.